Do you want to know what's really fun about being a woman?
This is starting to sound like a Shania Twain song.
Man, I feel like I'm in perimenopause. Ugh, the brain fog, the mood swings, the night sweats, the unpredictable cycles. Many women enter perimenopause and they don't even realize what's happening to their body, and it's directly impacting how they're making major life decisions.
You get divorce strategy on this podcast, but when it comes to strategy for what's happening inside your body, our friends at Natural Cycles are here to help. Their new app mode, NC Perimenopause, within the Natural Cycles app interprets those hormonal shifts with data and science.
So I'm currently using the app and the intel is fascinating. It doesn't just track symptoms. It helps me see patterns and it helps me connect the dots between my hormones, my symptoms, and my lifestyle. It even estimates what stage of perimenopause I'm in. I love that it helps me better understand what's going on with my body and why I have days where it's more difficult to make decisions than others. And that clarity really matters. You can even download a personalized report that you can bring to your doctor, which makes those appointments way more productive.
Natural Cycles is a female-founded digital health company that analyzes biomarker data to help users better understand their cycles. NC Perimenopause is for anyone experiencing or anyone who thinks they may be experiencing perimenopause, from the first hormone-related changes to your cycle or symptoms all the way until menopause, when your periods stop. Learn more and give it a shot right alongside Andrea.
Yes, let's do this thing together. You are not alone in your divorce or this transition. There are tools to help you make sense of what your body is doing. Visit naturalcycles.com and use code DIVORCE. Or tap the link in the show notes to learn more about how you can save on a subscription.
The How Not to Suck a Divorce podcast cannot be copied or rebroadcast without consent. This podcast does not contain legal advice. The information contained herein and provided on the podcast and the resources available are not intended and shall not be construed as legal advice. And with that, enjoy the show.
Hey there, it's Andrea. Listen, chances are, if you're listening to our show, then things might not be going so amazing in your life right now. And I get it. I have been there. Morgan and I want to offer you as much support and as much guidance as we possibly can. So go check out the How Not to Suck at Divorce community. And more importantly, go check out the DCC. That stands for Divorce Crash Course. Direct link to both of those in our show notes. This is the only divorce podcast that's one part family law attorney and one part recovering comedian. We are dedicated to bringing you action steps, empathy, and a healthy side of snark. This is How Not to Suck at Divorce. It's a mini episode, boys and girls. Buckle your safety belts. Let's get started.
Buckle your belts and hope that the door doesn't fly open on this flight.
This flight was not created by Boeing, so I think we're safe. What would you want? Can you imagine if we were on that flight?
No, we would have been the ones that flew right out the door.
The only thing worse would have been if I was on my way to a girls' trip. Then I would have been like, let me out.
You would have jumped out of the plane on purpose.
I literally.
If you were going to a girls' trip. If I were going to a girls' trip, I would have run to the bathroom, shut the door and locked it because I would go down with the plane before I'd get out of my girls' trip.
You just had a girls' trip, actually.
You know, there's never enough girls' trips that can go around. Like, I just want more and more. I'm just a nice person coming home from that.
Okay, we don't need to say nice. Oh, you're a nice person coming back. I thought you were about to say, I'm a nice person because I go on girls' trips.
No.
Okay, well, I have to say, speaking of nice persons, I think I might have teased this a few episodes ago, but I started a book club in my mom group. A book club, you say? Yes, a book club. And you and I have a common friend in the book club, a colleague of yours and a mom friend of mine. And we are all reading slightly corny, salacious books together. You don't have to laugh. It's a thing. We just finished The Idea of You, which is the book that's about to be released in that movie with Anne Hathaway, which if you
read it.
Okay, you. Oh, my God. You did?
I love reading. I don't know if you know that about me, but I read all the time. And yes, read it.
Okay. Well, give me your 10-second thoughts on The Idea of You.
Man, where do I start? You know, it's an easy read.
Totally.
It keeps you interested. It's got a little bit of everything for anyone. So
okay, I don't need the reading rainbow version. This is not a.
What do you want to say? The porn is amazing. Like, what do you say?
I want to hear about this. Like, were you like embarrassed while you were reading some of the scenes?
Oh my gosh, all the time. And the best is that my mother-in-law always is like, what are you reading right now? Can I borrow the book afterwards? I was like, no, you can't. Because the thought of you reading this sentence that I just read that I want to crawl under my bed for reading like I'm some sicko. No, you cannot borrow my book.
I was on a flight a few weeks ago with Steve and he kept bugging me. He's like, what is that? What are you reading? What are you reading? And he grabs the book and he starts reading it out loud, like on the plane. And I'm like, please stop, please stop, please stop. And it, of all scenes, it was the bend me over the back of the dining room table.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, okay. So have you ever heard? Yeah. And that's the thing. Those are not like my type of books, but you really didn't know you were getting into that kind of book until you started really reading it. It wasn't advertised like that. So then I felt like a real piece of work reading it. But have you ever heard, speaking of podcasts that we do, have you ever listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno?
The first podcast I ever listened to was that show. And it's
that one makes me laugh. So, because you just said Steve started reading it, and that's the whole premise of My Dad Wrote a Porno is somebody's dad wrote a porno, they got their hands on it, and they decided to sit around with their friends and read it out loud on the podcast. And it's so ridiculous that just the way they're reading it and like breaking it down is so funny. It reminded me of Steve on the airplane.
Shameless plug for that show. And they don't need our plugs. They're like wildly successful. But if you need a break from the divorce mishigas, take a minute and listen to that show. Like seriously, mental health note. If you need to like just time out and laugh, it is so funny. They're all British and they are reading this really poorly written, incredibly graphic porn script, and they cannot stop laughing, and they get really invested in like the twisted storylines of it, which make no sense. It's so good. So there you have it. So Morgan's taking girls trips. I started a book club, which is like a girls trip for me, because for those of you who listen to our show enough, you know, I'm not great at doing social things, and I am starting a book club, and the first meeting is tonight.
Oh, congrats. Good luck. We want to know next week if you still want to go to them after tonight's meeting, because Andrea is like allergic to any group meetings. So I'm even shocked that you've joined this.
I started it. Not only joined it, I started it. But I have to say, okay, look, we're bringing it all together now. Let me tell you a quick story as we get into today's topic. So 2 months ago, I was at a birthday party of one of my kids' friends, and all of the moms decided, let's just turn this into a cocktail party. So the dads are outside watching the kid. It was like a gaming truck that came to the person's house. So the dads are outside playing sports and watching the kids game, and the moms were inside having a cocktail party. And I was uncomfortable because I get uncomfortable in these situations. And one of the reasons I get uncomfortable is because of my divorce. I feel like it really socially kind of sets you apart from a lot of other people. You can start to feel like an alien because you don't have your kids every day. And there's a lot that you aren't going to know about. And if you go through something high conflict, which I went through and still going through, it creates this like feeling of, I don't know what I can say out loud. I don't know what I can talk about, what I can't talk about. Am I going to get in trouble for saying this? Are people talking about me? Ugh. So I went inward. I decided at this party to share that with everyone. And I said, you know what, you guys? I've been a real fucking weirdo for the last few years, and here's why. And I started crying a little bit. And I'm like, and now I'm crying, and that makes it even weirder. And I hate myself for this, but I'm going to try a lot harder this next like spring season, now that the weather is nice, to do things. If you guys ever want to go for walks, do cocktail parties, do this, do that, I'm forcing myself to do it. And everyone's just like blank staring at me like, what? And then one girl is like, I'm so glad you said something. I had no idea what had happened to you. You kind of dropped off the face of the earth, but absolutely, let's do it. What do you want to do? And then the words book club came out. I didn't even know I could read, but thank God I still can. And now we have a book club.
Oh, look at you. It's full circle over here.
So let's talk about this whole divorce thing that we tend to do a weekly podcast about, shall we?
Let's do it. So one of the reasons that we wanted to do this mini episode is because we are going into the summer months. If you have children, they're coming out of school right around the corner, which I think gives every parent like a bit of excitement about not waking up early every day, not worrying about what time your kids go to bed, but also a lot of anxiety because it's a whole new schedule. You got to keep tabs. If you're working, it even puts a bigger layer. If you're not working, that's just like you're on all day long. So, you know, one of the things that we talk about legally is that the summertime can be a great time for people to try out new schedules, to do creative things with the children or between your ex and yourself related to the children. And it's something that probably, you know, a few of my clients are already talking to me about even today. So I thought we should talk about this. We should talk and tell the people that are listening that there are creative solutions to summer.
Where do we start here? So I feel like the biggest piece outside, like let's not dig into summer camps and stuff like that yet. Let's start with just parenting time. So if we have a divorced couple or a divorcing couple who's like, okay, typically we do, I don't know, 2-3-2, right? Whatever that 2-2-3, whatever that arrangement is, right?
Like a 50-50.
Right, a 50-50 where it's like they're going back and forth every 2 to 3 days. And they're like, you know what? I want to change it up. I feel like maybe this isn't the best solution for our family. You're saying that now that the kids are not in school, it might be the best time to initiate a conversation about maybe we try something different.
Yes. So if you are in a process where you haven't figured out anything related to the children, maybe you look at it as summer is one schedule and we try it out and we see how it works before we get into the real schedule during school. Or maybe you look at it as summer is one schedule. And then when school goes back, it's another schedule. Because everybody knows summer plans with children are much different than school plans. So I have, for example, I have clients right now that are saying, hey, you know, one of the parties is a stay-at-home parent and the other one works. And the way that they're thinking about doing summer is, hey, stay-at-home, let's just say it's a mom, stay-at-home mom. The kids aren't in camp during the week. You're doing fun summer stuff with them. So why don't you take the weekdays and I will take the weekends because I am working. So it's all kind of the same in that couple's mind of they're getting the same amount of time. They're just doing it a little differently. And it's not like the kids are in school. So it's a little bit of a different schedule. Now they would never do that during the school year, but they're going to try it out and see how it works. And then they also are going to modify it for when the children are in camp because the stay-at-home mom won't be with them every day. So they're really being flexible. And that's the key here. Creativity and flexibility are your friends.
Okay. So right now, we're assuming that both parties are speaking to each other and getting along, right? Getting along with like air quotes. So in a situation like this, parent A emails parent B and says, I'm thinking about this. Are you open to it? Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, parent B's like, sure, fine. Then legally, what do they need to do?
Legally, usually what they have to do, if they are in total agreement, they want to call their attorneys and legally write up a document. If they are just wonderfully amicable, they may not need an attorney. Just an email confirming this is the agreement for the summer may be enough where you're at. You just want to double check. If you are at all worried about whether your ex might try to back out of the deal, that's when the attorneys should get it on paper. But from what I'm talking about is really two, like a couple that's very amicable and really working towards the best interests of the children during the summer months.
If a couple that's not so amicable and parent A feels really strongly that this would be a really good idea, is this a situation where it would go to mediation? Or is this something where they're like, we're not going to mediate over this. I understand that you want to try something different for the summer, but no, sorry.
So this is a perfect time. Summer is a really good time to try out new things, in my mind. And people are more open to granting that request. So this is the perfect time before summer starts that if you are thinking about it in a relationship where maybe you're not as amicable, you might want to advance this issue at mediation and see where it goes. I think a lot of mediators and judges are a little more flexible for summertime months than they are in school when, you know, that should be the number one focus.
If a parenting schedule is modified over the summer, does it also modify child support?
It all depends. Most of the time, if it's similar to the schedule timing-wise, you're just maybe doing something different. For instance, sometimes in my cases, legally, what we see is if they have a 50-50 schedule in general, and let's just say they're flip-flopping, you know, every 2 days or however their schedule looks, maybe they're still keeping a 50-50. They're just doing it differently. Maybe they're saying, hey, you know, the way this works out, why don't I keep the kids for 5 days and then you get them the next 5 days? Or why don't I do 1 week on and you do 1 week on? There's a million different ways that you can kind of skin the cat here. It's just what works best for your kids and your family. And if you remember our last episode, what we learned from Dr. Melissa Tigges is you have to put your kids first and their needs first and their priorities first. And if you're doing that, you're going to figure out the best schedule.
Piggybacking on that comment, this is also an area where if your kids are in therapy, check in with that therapist as far as what does that person recommend for summer. I can tell you that for in my situation with one of my kids, we have to be really aware of the fact that is a big change going to be beneficial or is that going to rock their world? You know, so this is, and it's not just an age group thing. It really is child to child. And if your child is really sensitive to that kind of stuff, then chances are they might already be in some kind of therapy. So you'll have that advantage, but be mindful of that. Another area where you can always go and ask questions are your kids' teachers. They've been with your kids every single day over the school year. You can come, there's nothing wrong with sitting down with them, shooting them an email and saying, how does my kid deal with transitions? When things are different in the school day, do they seem flustered or are they like rolling with it, no big deal?
You know, the best part about getting divorced is having the ability to write the next chapter in your life.
Ooh, I love that. And I'll add that I tell my clients all the time that setting yourself up for success in your next chapter is key to living your best life.
Girl, facts. And guys, you know your girls, Andrea and Morgan, we're always going to give you pro tips on how you cannot suck at getting divorced, which brings us to our family wizard.
Friends, hear me on this. Our family wizard is not just for couples going through a high conflict divorce.
No, it's for anyone who wants to be more organized with expenses, kids' activities, calendar requests, and messaging.
We recently co-wrote a special article for Our Family Wizard that gives you tips on how best to communicate with your challenging co-parent and come out on top.
And to get access to this article written just for you listeners, go to ourfamilywizard.com/notsuck.
Right. I think one thing you have to think about is we're not telling you this is one size fits all. That's not. We're telling you actually the opposite, which is there are so many creative solutions out there that might fit your family better. So just don't just jump in. Well, this is my normal schedule. I guess I'm stuck with it for the summer. If it's not working for you or you want other ideas, that's what we're here to talk about, to say this could look a little different legally on the summer parenting time rather than the school year.
So let's move into the other topics, which would be vacations, camps, and summer fashions. Do we say yes or no to Crocs? Okay, we'll leave the Crocs for the end, but we all know how I feel about plastic shoes. My kids love them though, and it kills me. Okay, moving on. Vacations. This can be really stressful. And I have to say, I'm going through a vacation thing right now where mom and dad don't agree on vacation plans. And that is so stressful. It is so freaking stressful.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, that's why you have a parenting agreement. And for those of you who already have a parenting agreement, that's a fallback document. So if you can't agree, you fall back on that and you follow it. But for those of you who maybe don't have a parenting agreement yet, it is pretty standard for both sides to have a chunk of time during the summer to vacation with the children. And I was just talking to one of my clients the other day. They were worried about vacations. They had not entered into an allocation judgment or a parenting agreement yet in their case, but they were worried about where they have a young child. They were worrying about where the other side might be able to travel with the young child. And what I told them is, listen, hopefully the other side is going to make good decisions for your child, but there are build-ins that we can do in your parenting agreement for vacation. So maybe, for instance, like where I am, usually it's pretty standard to have a 2 weeks or 2 weeks in the summer, each parent. The negotiation could be, do you get those consecutively, or is it 1 week period and then another week period later? If the children are younger, maybe consecutive is too much. We can also limit where they're traveling to, or step it up as the children age by agreement. And finally, you know, we do limit where the children travel to with regards to travel concerns, meaning are they traveling to a country that is part of what's called the Hague Convention? So that if someone takes your child to a country and absconds with them, which is, you know, not everyone's concern, but I've definitely had plenty of those concerns, will the country return that child? So we usually exclude any country that will not return the child under the Hague Convention.
Oh God, let's go back to talking about the book club, because this is where I get nauseous. I hate this shit. I'm sorry. I just do. I know we have to talk about it, but I just, like, it makes me so anxious and emotional and want to vomit. I don't hate it.
Well, baby steps. That's the thing. Baby steps. Everyone, if you have kids, you're going to have to go through it. It's just baby steps. And it shouldn't make you nauseous and worried if you know all the information, because most of the time I will say that everything's protected. Everything's written in there. Everything's going to be okay. So I know that you are triggered in general when we talk about this topic. So if you're listening, don't worry. This is Andrea's trigger always.
Nah. This, you could put on your baby earmuffs along with Andrea. Let's talk about letters of consent. I know that I think it's in my parenting agreement for international travel, like a letter of consent that the other parent needs to sign off of. How common is that? What's that all about? What purpose does it serve? Does anybody care?
Well, I mean, I think it's more old school, honestly. I don't have those a lot in my agreements now. I think that people think that if they, you know, get an international flight with a child, that there's all this like rigmarole they're going to have to go through at the airlines. I will tell you, I've taken international flights with my children many times. No one's questioned a thing. They're like, look at their passports. They make sure that they know their name and off you go. So I don't really see that letters of consent have ever really come up recently. It used to be a thing. Most of the time, it's just built into the agreement that you can travel internationally with a lot of backstops, meaning how long do they have to tell you that they're going, where they're going, how they're going, who they're going with, when do they come back, what's the flight numbers, those kind of things all have to be lining up or they don't get to go.
I feel like it matters more if you and the child do not have the same last name.
Oh, yes, that's definitely. Right. You would hope that the airlines and TSA is flagging that, right? You would
like, hope. Well, like, I don't have the same last name as my kids. And so that comes up, like, I know for me sometimes, even domestically, that kind of. So I think, like, for some people, there's like a little bit more. And even if it doesn't come up, I think it's just the things that you think about as the parent traveling. You know, because the last thing you want is for something not to go well. And you're like, oh, yes. What else was I going to say about vacations? Okay. What about, again, I think all roads go back to how you start this conversation with your ex-spouse. But let's talk about you want to travel. Okay. Maybe you want to take a girls' trip without the kids over the summer. What do you feel like the best way is to start that conversation with your co-parent?
Well, so two things. One is, most of the time, if you've already entered into an allocation judgment or a parenting agreement, your other parent will have a week or 2 weeks or however many weeks you negotiate during the summer that they're going to be traveling with the children or have them consecutively. That's the perfect time for you to plan your girls' trip. Now, if that doesn't work out, doesn't line up, and you still want to go on your girls' trip, or maybe you want to go on a guy's trip, whatever kind of trip you want to go on that doesn't include the kids, usually there is a built-in provision in a parenting agreement called what we call the right of first refusal, which basically says, hey, you know, it's my parenting time, but I'm not available during these days. Would you like the children, instead of me calling my mother, a babysitter, my neighbor, you know, some random off the street, whoever it is, would you like them? And most of the time they say yes. If they say no, you're on the hook for finding childcare so you can go on your girls' trip, guys' trip, wherever kind of trip you're going.
Shall we move into summer camp?
Let's do it.
Okay. This is another area that caused people a lot of stress. And here's what I want to say to start. I used to be one of you. I used to stress out so much over kids' activities and do my ex and I agree on what the best thing for them to do? And then I had a come to Jesus moment. Not that Jesus and I are close, because we're not, but I had a moment where it was like, okay, why am I doing this? Is it really the end of the world? My kids go to this camp over this camp, or they do skateboarding lessons instead of basket weaving. You have to know what is really worth it for you to fight on this, and where do you just say, okay, the kids don't care that much. I'm holding on to these ideas because maybe I really, really want my kids to go to this camp, but in the end, it's not the biggest deal. That's what I want to preface the summer camp conversation with. And with that, I'll turn it to you.
No, it's so true. It's like, pick your battles, right? What truly matters to you? And it's funny too, because out of the legal space, throw the legalities out of there. I mean, people who are not going through a divorce feel the same exact way. And I know for myself, with my own children, where we live, to get them into certain camps, it's like the frickin' Olympics, right? You're up at 7 a.m., you're tagged into the computer, you're hitting all the buttons, and you've got to have like almost an Excel. So some moms and dads have Excel spreadsheets that are going around of these camps. And you know what? After a while, I sat back and I was like, why? Why am I putting more pressure on myself? I already have enough. And that's how you should think about it in a divorce process. You already have so much pressure and stress on yourself. Is this something that really should be allocating your stress and pressure right now? Summer camp, when you have all these other things happening, give yourself some grace. Pick your battles. That's not one that I would say throw down on unless there's some other information that I don't know about.
And I think that it's something where, if it is a really big deal, and only you know how high the stakes are in your own arena, if it is a really big deal and you want to mediate over it, you need to be prepared to give something else up. Because if you really want to convince your co-parent that they should go to Camp Anawana over Camp Not Awana, then you have to have reasons why, and you need to be prepared to give them something in order for them to side with you. And something else that happens is, if the camp that you want is more expensive than the camp that your co-parent wants to send them to, you need to be prepared to make up that difference. Because sometimes if it comes down before a judge, they can say, okay, mom, if you really want your kid to go to a camp sponsored by the Ritz-Carlton that's $900 an hour, dad doesn't want to pay for that. I don't think that dad should pay for that. So you need to make up the difference. And I know where we live, Morgan, and I don't know if this is universal, the standard of what they base everything off of is like the public park district's camps.
They do, but they also look at what's been typical in your family.
Right.
You know, so that's the thing. It all depends on the family. So if you have been sending your children to Jewish camp, overnight camp for, you know, 2 weeks at a time or 6 weeks in the summer, the court's going to look at that.
Right.
If you've never done it, and then all of a sudden out of the blue, you come up with, you know, a $5,000 bill for the other side and want to send them away for all summer for sleepaway camp, you might have some problems there.
Right.
But overall, camp is something to deal with. And also, if camp is on the horizon for you, and this may be the first year that maybe they're doing sleepaway camp or a longer camp, it's a perfect time to start talking about whether the summer schedule should be modified a little bit to make sure that everyone's getting quality time with the children.
And look, we know when this episode is airing, for most of you, your camp decisions have been made, right? Like, those are long gone. Those were made way back before spring break even hit. if you're still kicking yourself over the fact that your summer plans don't look like how you hoped they would be, listen to my words, let it go. It's okay. Let it go. It's not gonna, a year from now, you're not gonna even remember this. Do not let the fact that your kids aren't going to the summer camp that you want them to go to ruin your life. I'll tell you, my summer, it is not looking like the way that I had in my mind would hope for my kids. And it's not that big of a deal. Like, you kind of have to know at what point am I going to keep torturing myself. I even called myself out the other day when another mom said, oh, where are your boys going this summer? And I felt the need to like preface it with, well, I didn't really want this, but blah, blah, blah. And I didn't need to do that. I could have just answered the question. I don't need to justify it with, well, we couldn't agree. And so, but, you know, don't do that to yourself. And you don't really need to do that to your ex either. Just let it go and move on.
Also, this is something that I always laugh about. I don't know if you feel like this as a parent, Andrea, but nothing changes for me during the summer. Does anything change for you? I still have to get up and go to work every day.
Yep.
I still have to do everything I always did. And yeah, the kids are home from school, but it's like, okay, you know, nothing is truly changing. Take a load off, take a breather. We're going to get through this summer.
Harder for me over the summer because when my kids come home from camp, they want to go to the pool. But I'm still working. So whereas like during the school year, you know, they come home and they want to just jump on their tablets and, you know, zone out, which gives me another hour and a half or so to like wrap things up, get things done. Summer is tough because they come home and kind of like stare, you know, and they're like, mommy, it's time to go to the pool, put on my sunscreen. And I have to listen to watch me jump, watch me jump, watch me do this. Mommy, watch, mommy, 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 mommy. So... and we feel bad, right? Because we want to be there for those moments. And it's just the struggle of being a full-time working parent and a parent. So We're with you on that.
Well, that brings me to one other thing that before we wrap is, you know, something that I think is a valid concern Andrea's bringing up. It's beautiful, which is if you're a single parent, working parent, you might need to advance to get some help during the summer. Meaning you might need to say to your ex, hey, you know, it might make sense for us to get some help with the driving or maybe get some help for 2 hours to bridge the gap when both you and I still have, you know, 3 more hours of work. Mm-hmm. Those are conversations that might need to happen so that your summer is kind of flawless, if possible.
Yes, I completely agree. Okay, let's talk about summer fashion. What is coming up that you are loving and what are summer trends that make you cringe? Like we're talking kids and grownups.
Kids. Well, my children think dressing up is wearing Nike shorts and it makes me want to die. And also they have horrible haircuts. So I'm working on that for the summer. I'm going to make them more preppy and kind of look like I want them to look. So that is my fashion no-no for my children currently. Overall fashion, I mean, I just feel like we're at a weird age where I have all the work clothes in the world, but the clothes on the weekend, I can't keep up with like who's wearing what.
Yeah.
So I feel very out of it. Like maybe I could just wear a blazer every day of my life. I'd feel much better.
No, but see, I love it when you wear like a more casual dress. I love your casual clothes. I don't see them that often, but I feel like sometimes you whip out something. Like I think last year you whipped out some random overalls that I saw you in. I'm like, what are those cute peach overalls? Like,
I love the peach overalls.
I love those. I also hate the things that my boys are wearing, like the sporty, and my kids are not even sporty. And so when they wear these like Under Armour and Nike t-shirts, I'm like, who are you even? Like, you don't play anything. I don't like that. I loved it when they were little and we got to dress them in the cutest summer outfits. And now they just look like slobs. My younger son has the longest, shaggiest hair. He looks like he wants to audition for One Direction, but I'm going to rename his band No Direction because his hair has none. And it's just, it's a mess. And I feel like they always look messy in the summer.
Yes. Yes. I told mine that until they get themselves a job and start contributing to the household expenses, that they're on my watch and my dollar, so I get to do whatever I want with that hair.
Oh my God. I have to say, though, I do love seeing like popsicle stains on kids' faces.
Oh,
I
think that's so yes.
cute, right? Mm-hmm. And I love hearing the ice cream truck and all the kids like flip out over like bad ice cream that's served in a truck. You know, like they go crazy for that. Like there are certain things that I am like really looking forward to. The smell of a margarita on a crisp June night. Like, you know, I said crisp June. That wouldn't make sense. Warm June night. I think there's a lot to look forward to. So as much as the summer can be a time of like, dread, now I've got to think about things and renegotiate it. I think that it's a whole lot more positive if we just welcome this season and say, I'm going to lean back. If now is a time to finagle a few things around, let's do it. But if not, let's lean back. Let's let it go. Let's try to enjoy ourselves. If you can have an afternoon where you can put down your laptop an hour earlier and go watch your kids, you know, at the pool, do it. Hey, bring along a book. How about The Idea of You? But don't read it out loud, especially not to your children. That's a whole other podcast episode.
I agree. Let it go. That's our mantra of the summer. Let it go. You'll be happier. Your kids will be happier and you will get more sanity and more time in your brain for good decisions on bigger issues and maybe even ability to read Andrea's porn book.
Hey, I love a porn book. Who knew? Who knew that it would be the porn that would get me back into the world of reading? You don't see that on Reading Rainbow, do ya? But don't take my word for it. Oh, friends, God, we love you guys. We're so honored that you spend an hour-ish of your week every week with us. So thank you for that. Thank you for following along on Instagram, on Facebook, for joining our private community. If you don't have your hands on the DCC, which stands for Divorce Crash Course, what the hell are you waiting for? Go grab it. It is the most important information about your divorce wrapped into one really pretty, really digestible nugget.
Agreed, agreed. And listen, divorce is a marathon. We know it. Every day is not going to be a good day. Sometimes it's hour by hour. Other times it's day by day, but you will get through this. That is what we are here for. If you love our show, please rate and review us. It means the world. Send us a DM. We answer everything. And remember, you have got this.
And we have got you. Till next time.